All right, in your Bibles today, I can't tell you how thankful I am to have faces in the pews. And I really struggled there the last 3 weeks. I've really struggled doing that. It'll help me now, even if I do have to record some to remember your faces. And God bless you for being here today. Matthew chapter 5. I, once upon a time, began a series called Sermons on the Mount. I am going to conclude that with at least three messages from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. Very famous. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that nearly all of 5, 6 and 7, except for the first two verses of chapter 5 and the last two verses of chapter 7, all red letter. Now, all of the scriptures are God-breathed. They're all inerrant, infallible. But the direct discourse of Jesus is meaningful to us. It is significant when Jesus speaks words and the Holy Spirit says, Jesus is going to say these words himself, not inspire others to write these words, but say these words and the Holy Spirit's going to write these words down. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 1, chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Father, bless your word. The written word we're able to read together today, and the living word we always want to worship, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount contains some of the most quoted and memorable verses and ideas in even still in popular culture. You'll hear politicians say something quoting the Sermon on the Mount, or teachers and philosophers will say something. And they will sometimes tip their cap and say, yes, Jesus said this. They may not believe that Jesus is God or that he's divine. But they will say, you know, Jesus said something that's very catchy and very good. And they'll quote the Sermon on the Mount. Dr. Wiersbe said that there are really some significant errors about the Sermon on the Mount. Number one is that people think the Sermon on the Mount can somehow be applied in the political realm. That somehow you could get nations, governments, big or small, federal, state, or international, somehow to adopt the Sermon on the Mount as their constitution and their bylaws. It is not designed to be the constitution of an earthly kingdom. It's just not designed. One other error also is that some people think, well, it's not for now at all. It's for the millennium. Now, well, that's a convenient thing to do with the hard passages of this sermon and say, well, don't worry about it. It's for the thousand-year reign of Jesus. This will be the constitution of the millennial kingdom. I do think it will be a creed of the millennial kingdom, but I don't think we can just skip over Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and say, well, we'll wait till the millennium and then we'll figure out what it means. I don't think it's for an earthly kingdom. I don't think it's for the future millennial kingdom. I do not think, Wiersbe says, it's not for lost people to cipher through these verses and say, well, how could I be saved? Well, I guess I have to be this and do that and become this and learn that and learn how to pray and learn how to give and learn how to turn the other cheek and learn all these things. It's not a plan of salvation. It is a handbook for Christians. It's a guidebook for people who are already born again. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus began his public ministry and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel means the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. You agree with God that you're a sinner and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he's beginning to preach the gospel. He's healing the sick as proof of his divinity. And the crowds are gathering. He's healing the sick, verse 24. In verse 24, chapter 4, it says, and his fame. Jesus became famous. He was a celebrity. He was on the front page. He was on the 24-hour news cycle. People were talking about Jesus. Have you heard Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Have you heard one of his parables? Have you seen him do a miracle? Do you know anybody he's healed? How about you? Let's see if we can find Jesus. Jesus becomes famous. And I mean the crowds. Verse 25. Great multitudes of people from Galilee, from the 10 cities, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. I mean the crowds are spectacular. The early months of Jesus' ministry are just off the chart. Attendance. Just can't get to him for the crowd. Sometimes people can't even get close to Jesus because of the crowd. And verse 1 of chapter 5 sets the stage and tells us a lot of what we need to know about what follows in the Sermon on the Mount. He sees the multitudes and he goes away. Now, you got to trust Jesus here. Sometimes there's a time for crowds and sometimes a time for not crowds. Sometimes there's a time for evangelism and sometimes there's a time for discipleship. And Jesus sees the crowds, he comes away, and his disciples come to him. And he teaches them. The Sermon on the Mount is for disciples. If you're a Christian, it's for you. If you're a believer, it's for you. Now, if you're not a believer, I still believe there's some benefit in you listening to what Jesus says in this Sermon on the Mount. Because it might help you understand the struggle that Christians have. I hope you haven't forgotten this. Christians are not perfect. No. Churches are not perfect. You know why? Because they're people. People are not perfect. And sometimes I think lost people, and sometimes Christians forget this. Sometimes we forget we are not perfect. We fall short of the glory of God every day. We have to pray for wisdom every day. We have to pray for courage every day. We have to pray for patience every day. We have to ask the Lord to forgive us every day. We have to ask people around us to forgive us every day. Christians are not perfect. And maybe if you're not saved and you're not a Christian, you read through the Sermon on the Mount and you say, boy, I know some Christians that aren't doing that. And some they say they're Christians and they're really struggling with this. You have actually discovered some great truth. Christians already know this. We read through the Sermon on the Mount and you say, well, I need to work on that. I really struggle with that. I want to be more like that and less like this. And so there's benefit for the unbeliever to reading the Sermon on the Mount and certainly benefit for the Christian. Christian, we've got a long way to go. We are in the classroom of the Christ, one old Puritan called it. When you get saved, you matriculate, you enroll in school, the school of Jesus Christ, and you do not graduate. It's rather like the auditorium class, Brother Gary. You do not get promoted out of the auditorium class unless you become a teacher or you become, start a class yourself. You stay in the auditorium class because you just never finish. There's just always another class you need to take. There's always another subject. And it's not like high school or college or seminary or trade school. You don't finish. You don't get your graduation until you actually graduate from this life. That's when you get your diploma. That's when you get your certificate of accomplishment, when you get that new body, a glorified body. And so we're in the classroom. Some days classes are harder than others. Some subjects are harder than others. Maybe you remember that from school. Maybe you remember your favorite subjects. I love to ask children, what's your favorite subject that you study? Mine was always lunch. No, not that one. Recess. I don't know if they still do that or not. But I liked reading. Not so much math. I liked geography, but not so much the biology and the stuff that got formulas. You know, I'm not really big on that. Some subjects I didn't really take to. You know, Christianity's that way. I bet there's some subjects Jesus teaches and you just love them. Jesus says, today I'm going to tell you about the doctrine of assurance. Once saved, always saved. Boy, you said, boy, I need some more of that. I would like to have a major in that degree. I'd like to have a degree in assurance. Tell me more. How I'm saved. I can't be lost. I'm going to heaven when I die. A lot of subjects Jesus teaches and we can't get enough of it. Our future blessings, our home in heaven. But then there are some days when Jesus pulls out the textbook and he says, I want to talk to you today about bad attitudes. I want to talk to you about grumbling. I want to talk to you about murmuring. I want to talk to you about impatience. I want to talk to you about being unkind. I want to talk to you about you becoming a better person. We think, oh, I think I'd rather hear that lesson about assurance. Because after he gets done talking about how you should behave as a Christian, you probably need that assurance. You think, oh, I don't feel like a Christian sometimes. I don't act like a Christian because I'm so impatient and I'm so frustrated and I'm so annoyed. So that's true of the Sermon on the Mount. There are lessons in it we like, some lessons not so much, but they're all for our profit. Notice the verses 3 through 12. This is the diagnosis of a Christian. They are blessed. Notice he says, verse 3, blessed are. Verse 4, blessed are. 5, blessed are. Now you notice English, some of your English Bibles have that R italicized. That means the translator supplied that word so you know how to understand that phrase. A good synonym of blessed is happy or content or fulfilled. It means blessed. I think we know what blessed means. But blessed are, verse 5, blessed are, verse 6, are, verse 7, are, verse 8, are, verse 9, are, verse 10, are, verse 11, blessed are ye. This is present tense stuff. This is the diagnosis of what it means to be a Christian. Right now, doesn't matter if you're in the third grade or the 30th grade, you have these blessings. Every Christian has these blessings. Every born-again believer already has these blessings. They're already blessed. Now, I didn't say they're already enjoying them or expressing them. They already have them. When you get saved, did you know the Holy Spirit actually comes in and takes up residence in your soul? That's God's down payment of your future inheritance. Your future blessings, God says, my earnest is the Holy Spirit himself. And the Holy Spirit takes up habitation in your soul. I can't explain that. I don't fully understand it, but I do believe that. I think, what an amazing thing. God really is planning to redeem my body and my life because he has invested the Holy Spirit in me already. He's not going to forsake or renege on his earnest, his down payment. So Peter says, when you get saved, you receive all the things that pertain to life and godliness. You already got everything you need. You say, well, I don't think I have enough patience. I don't think I have enough love. I don't think I have enough gentleness. I don't think I have enough forbearance. I don't think I have enough courage. You do. It's just that they don't have enough of you yet. They're there. We're just not using them properly. The treasure's already there. It's not like we have to say, oh Lord, please give me the things I need to be a good Christian or to be a faithful Christian or to be a faithful follower. You already have the blessings. I want you to leave this morning thinking how wealthy you are spiritually. See, I got wealth I didn't know about. I love to come home and sometimes I'll take off the suit, you know, hang up the suit and put on the working clothes and do something else. And then maybe the next day I need the suit, I get the suit, and you reach in the pocket, money. I don't know why my wife does that. She puts money in my pocket sometimes. I'm thinking, there's $6, a five and a one. And I didn't even know I had it. It's like, how long has that been in there? I don't know. Since the last time you wore the suit? It hasn't been to the dry cleaners because it wouldn't still be in there if it had been to the dry cleaners. But I didn't know I had that. One time I looked in my wallet, this is a true story, looked in my wallet and folded up and slipped into the little credit card thing, the little flap for the credit card. I looked in there to pull out one of my credit cards because you just keep giving them one until one of them works. I'm just kidding. You reached it back there and I pulled up a $50 bill. Now here's the story of that. My emergency money that I carry with me in my wallet, I shouldn't tell you this, but it's $50. It's a little $50 bill kind of rolled up there, you know, just $50. And somewhere along the line, I thought, boy, I don't know what happened. I got another $50, and it was in the emergency money spot. And somehow that $50 had crawled over in another slot. And I thought, I didn't know I had that. Maybe those are so silly illustrations, but you know our spiritual blessings are like that. They're already there. Sometimes we've shuffled things around in our life. We've forgotten about things but the blessings are all there. The blessings of verses 3 through 12, we already possess the blessings. Now, the commentators do make a difference. They say in verse 3, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But then it goes to future tense in verse 4. They shall be, they shall inherit, they shall be filled, they shall obtain. There are some, how do I say this, dividends on the blessings that are yet future. Now, the kingdom is ours already. The kingdom is the rule of God in the heart. There's a spiritual kingdom that is now. The now is the spiritual kingdom. And when you get saved, you're translated from darkness into the kingdom of God, dear son. You're already a citizen of heaven right now. As soon as you're born again, citizen of heaven. You are blessed because you're a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of an earthly kingdom, but already a citizen of heaven. These other blessings, you have the blessing, but the enjoyment is yet future. You say, how are the mournful blessed? It doesn't say blessed will be the mourners. Someday the mourners will be blessed because they'll be comforted. That's not what it says. Read it carefully. This helped me a lot. Martin Lloyd-Jones pointed this out. Somebody gave me that book a long time ago. Look what he says. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He doesn't say, someday the mourners are going to be blessed. That is true, though, isn't it? If I said that, that's not what this verse says, but is that not true? Is there not a day coming when God's going to wipe away our tears? Reunite us with our loved ones in the Lord? They're going to come with Him, as a matter of fact, in the rapture if we are living. Is there not a day when we will be wonderfully blessed in the future, even though now we mourn? Someday the mourning's going to be over. In these 2 months, I have assisted in 23 funerals. not a single COVID-19 case, but just the ordinary, how did I say, just the passing of life, many of whom you might not know. I did not know. Sister Millie Broughton passed away, Diana Neville's aunt. That was Mary Henderson's sister. She passed. But most of them I did not know. Family that needed a minister at a cemetery or graveside. And oh, how they mourned. And the social distancing is so hard in those kind of situations. When people need to be comforted, and it's very painful to watch. And there is a day coming for believers when all of those tears and all those sadnesses and all those sorrows are going to be wiped away. That is future. But that's not what he says here. He says, blessed now. A Christian, think with me, a Christian can stand at a grave and say, I am blessed. Not just, I will be blessed when I see my loved one again. I am blessed now, even while I mourn. I am blessed even while the tears stream down your face. You are blessed. You sorrow. Maybe I think that's kind of what Paul's saying. We sorrow, but not without hope. That's how you know when your Christian faith is really genuine, is when the tears can come down like rain and yet you still know you have hope. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, and he knew that in mere moments he was going to raise him from the dead. But still he wept. It's okay for us to cry. It's okay for us to weep. You know, sometimes preparing for this, I haven't been excited about a Sunday morning since the Sunday morning I candidated here back in 99. I woke up in the middle of the night then. I couldn't sleep. Went and got my car washed. I could be spiritual and tell you I got on my... I did pray, but I was excited. This morning, I couldn't say, I'm excited. And yet, I was mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. I was mourning the Sunday school. And I was mourning the breakfast room. And I'm thinking, no, I don't have that. I don't have a choir, and I was sad. Don't sit there super spiritual saying, oh, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe you had those thoughts. Just be glad, happy what you got. I was sad about some things. I will continue to be sad about some things but I am blessed even right now. Are you blessed?
Yeah.
Say, well, I don't have this and I don't have a job and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know all kinds of uncertainty. True. But are you blessed right now? A Christian is blessed right now. Right now. I've been so thankful for not all the problems of social media, but for the tools of social media. I can't tell you what, you know, little emails and little texts, notes have meant, phone calls. Just incredible blessings. I hope someone has encouraged you like that. I know some people say, well, you're not serious enough sometimes. I don't know what to do. I sent out some announcements about service, and Sister Tony McCord, she was disappointed because she thought I was... I sent out one of my psalms, and she thought it was like the music was Ohio State music. She's disappointed. So I looked through my YouTube and found her a Ohio State YouTube video. Sent it back as soon as I found it. Thought, if I could bring a little bit of joy into that poor woman's life. And it was an Ohio State victory over that state up north. Missouri, I think, CNN. Long story. But it was a victory over that state that will not be named. And I thought, boy, what a blessing to just be able to do that. Be able to get on the Zoom with your Sunday school class or with the directors of Baptist Faith Missions. And no, it's not perfect. And no, it's not always working. One day we communicated with the directors and we're on Zoom, and Brother Mitchell in West Virginia has no computer and no camera and no microphone, and I'm using my cell phone to... Did you hear that, David? He said... I felt like it was... He said that... It was a comedy. But the next time he had a microphone, no camera. Oh, he had a camera and no microphone. So still, he could see, but he couldn't hear. And I'm trying to... It was hilarious. I'm thinking we should have videotaped this part of it. But I'm telling you, what a blessing. Mournful, all of the separation, the stresses our missionaries are under, sheltering in place in strange places, countries with less resources than ours, and pressing on. And I contact them and saying, as far as Addison, our people are giving, our missions are met, that's still being met, and they still need to eat. They still need to take care of their families. And God bless your faithfulness. I pray that every church will be able to continue their mission support. And even though the environment is difficult and sorrowful, we are blessed right now. We must say this morning, this Sunday morning, we are blessed to be here. Yes. I'd like it to be, I'd like to have choir, I'd like to have Sunday school, but I'd like to have, I would too. And I weep over that, but I am blessed in the moment. I think that's one of the characteristics of Christianity that maybe lost people understand the least. How could you be blessed while you're mourning? See, Christianity isn't just happy someday. It is that. It's not just that. Christianity is happy now. It's happy now. You say, well, you don't know what I'm facing. Doesn't really matter. Blessed are they that mourn. He says, I skipped over the poor in spirit. Some debate about that, but it means those who are humble. Those who are genuinely repentant. One of the characteristics of Christian experience is repentance and faith. That's what happens when you get saved. That's what's supposed to happen every moment of every day you are saved. Repentance and faith. I don't mean you're getting saved again. It's just that every day is filled with repentance and faith. There are two sides of the coin, by the way. You're turning from sin and turning to Christ. And you do that not only when you first trust Him as Lord and Savior, you do that every day of your life. You do it every morning, noon, and night. You confess your sins, you agree with God, and you put your faith in Him for forgiveness and strength. Every day for a Christian is turning from sin and turning to Christ. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those blessings seem to emphasize the future payoff. But actually, he wants you to understand the blessing is now. The meek are blessed now. It doesn't say blessed will be the meek. He doesn't say blessed will be those who hunger and thirst. Not blessed will be the merciful. The merciful, the pursuers of righteousness, the meek, they are blessed right now. Let me just close with this appeal. You are blessed whether you're enjoying it or not. The blessing's yours. It's not just for the special Christians or the mature Christians. The blessings, the riches are yours. They may be tucked away in a closet of your heart. They may be pushed out of your conscious attention. The blessings are yours right now. You may be mourning and you say, well, I don't feel very blessed. I don't feel very happy about this situation. Well, the blessing's still yours. The blessings are yours. Find them. Ask the Lord today, Lord, help me see the blessings. Yes, help me to trust you for future blessings. I want a day when all the tears are dried, when all the sorrow, when the clouds are... I want a day when Jesus rules and reigns here on the earth. But for now, Lord, let me see the blessings today. Let me see the happy now. Let me see the riches now. I realize sometimes the riches are promissory notes. Sometimes they're deeds to property you can't see. I mean, our whole inheritance in heaven is like that. We can't see that mansion, but we have the deed to it now. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the proof that we have it. But ask the Lord, let me see the blessings. Let me enjoy what I do have. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have the shared experience with family and friends. Even though it may be socially distanced, and maybe that's moving in the right direction, but you say you feel this isolation. But look, think of the blessing. You do have the relationships. The sadness is you're separated, but you do have the relationships. And ask the Lord to help you see the blessings. Number two, ask God to help you share that good news. And I don't mean just going around telling people like, well, I'm happy. If you're like me, you'd be happy. And I'm not talking about superficial happiness. I'm talking about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christians do a disservice to God whenever we are anxious and afraid. And we are anxious and afraid a lot. A lot. But we do a disservice to God. Lost people need to see and hear our confidence, our trust, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed now. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You say, well, I'm already a child of God. Yes. But when you make peace between a lost sinner and God, the lost sinner acknowledges you as a child of God. You know why? Because they become a child of God. They become your brother or sister in Christ. And you are blessed because you're a peacemaker. Even the persecuted. Lord willing, we're going to deal with that next Lord's Day. Let's bow. Father, I pray that you would help me see the blessings. Circumstances and difficulties